And once the receiver has achieved lock, it has access to that navigation message and can read all of the information that's there, the ephemerides, the almanac, the clock correction, and so on. It can use the handover word, and every subframe is a stepping stone to tracking the more precise code. But the code pseudorange alone is, as we've talked about, not adequate for the kind of accuracy that we generally expect from GPS. And of course, not only does the receiver produce a replica of the code, but also a replica of the incoming carrier wave. The incoming signal from the satellite is subject to ever-changing Doppler shift, while the replica within the receiver is nominally consistent. Now, the carrier tracking loop, which is part of the receiver, the process usually begins after the pseudo-random noise code has done its job and the code tracking loop is locked. And by mixing the satellite signal with the replica carrier, the process then eliminates all the phase modulations. It strips the code. This is after the code has been locked and the approximate position is available. Then the receiver strips the codes by combining the signals, and it simultaneously creates two intermediate or beat frequencies, as we've talked about. One is the sum, the other is the difference. The receiver selects the latter, the difference, with a device known as a bandpass filter, and then this signal is sent on to the carrier tracking loop, also known as the phase lock loop, where a voltage-controlled oscillator is continuously adjusted to follow that beat frequency exactly. And this gives you some idea as to how a GPS receiver locks onto that carrier and stays locked. And, of course, this is the way that the higher accuracy is achieved than could be had with the code phase alone.